Ask and you shall receive. It makes prayer sound so simple, doesn't it? All you have to do is ask. Almost like magic, we get what we ask for. But we know from experience that it doesn't really work that way all the time. God is not a vending machine. But still we pray, or we want to. But sometimes we blame ourselves for not praying rightly, with enough faith or confidence, without enough humility or trust or selflessness. Sometimes we blame ourselves if we don't get what we've prayed for. And sometimes we blame God. Prayer is the one true sign of a person of faith. Every faith. It's possible to go through the motions of prayer and not have faith. But I think it's impossible to have faith and not pray in some way. In the Gospels, we see Jesus often in prayer, so much so that eventually it occurs to his disciples to ask him to teach them to pray. And he does. He teaches them and us the basics of a good prayer. He gives us what has become the signature prayer of Christians. We call it the Our Father. It's a prayer that is recited regularly, weekly, if not daily, by over 2 billion people in this world. We've had this prayer for 2,000 years, and still it is steeped in mystery. We continue to find new meaning in it. Some call it the Lord's Prayer, but it never mentions the Lord. It is Christianity's greatest prayer, but it never mentions Christ. It's prayed in all churches and never mentions church. It draws from the Jewish tradition, but doesn't mention any of the major themes of the Old Testament, like covenant or law, the temple, the Torah. It is obviously meant to be a universal prayer, a prayer for all people, mysterious, transcendent, and hopeful. What do we learn from this prayer? We learn that we are to praise God. Hallowed be thy name. Holy is your name. We learn to hope for the kingdom. Thy kingdom come. We learn to ask for what we need, our daily bread. And we learn to make forgiveness the cornerstone of our relationships. You may have noticed that Luke's version in today's gospel is slightly different than the one we've all learned, grown up with, the one that we recite together at every Mass, the one we find in Matthew's gospel. They're slightly different. And this too is a hint on how to pray. I think it says to us, don't get hung up on formulas and words, the right words, the wrong words. It's okay to use our own words, to use lots of words or a few words or the same words even over and over. And better yet, sometimes no words. Prayer is powerfully significant in the life of every saint. And so it's no wonder that we have lots of advice from the saints on this subject. But technique is not high on their list. St. John Climacus, a 7th century monk, insisted we not rack our brains for the right words. God listens to every prayer and knows what we mean, no matter how we express it. St. Elizabeth Seton described prayer as no more than lifting the heart to God throughout the day. St. Ignatius of Antioch said prayer is basically paying attention. Attention to God, to life, to one another. St. Basil the Great saw the whole of life as one unending season of prayer. St. Thomas Aquinas typically and systematically analyzed the Lord's Prayer, and he came up with 5 qualities that all prayers should have. First of all, confidence. We are so confident in our love for God and God's love for us that we call him Father. Secondly, orderliness. The most important things should be prayed for first. Suitability. We should ask of God only what is right and fitting to ask of God, which I think precludes winning the lottery. Fourth, every prayer should have devotion in it. And fifth, humility. Saint Therese of Lisieux, Little Flower, put it much more simply than Thomas. She said, a simple glance up to heaven, a sudden outburst of the heart, a cry of gratitude. This was her little formula for spiritual communication and consolation. And St. Teresa of Avila saw prayer as something we don't always do alone. Sometimes alone, but not always alone. And it's not something we should only do for ourselves, to get what we need, or just to elevate our thoughts to God. We are all in this together, she said, and we must pray most effectively. We do pray most effectively when we unite our prayers with those of our family and our friends and our community. Blessed John Paul II told us that prayer fulfills our Christian vocation. And our Christian vocation is to sanctify ourselves, but also our world. And in prayer, we do both at the same time. What did Jesus mean when he said, ask and you shall receive? Well, in the first place, frankly, I don't really know what he meant. In the second place, that has never stopped me from talking about it. I talk about a lot of things that I don't know a lot about. But I do know this. I know that I'm glad I didn't always get what I prayed for. And some of you probably also are grateful. And I do know that when I pray, situations don't always change. But I change. I find a strength or a patience that I didn't even know I had. And I do know that Jesus wants me to pray boldly, like Abraham in that first reading, bargaining with God, trying to find out just how just and merciful God is. And Jesus wants us to pray persistently, like that pesky neighbor in the gospel. Make your needs known, he's telling us. Don't be afraid to voice your hopes, your desires. Don't hesitate to ask again and again. Jesus seems to be saying it's okay to pester God. Perhaps eventually we'll learn what we really need from God. And what we really need from God isn't always what we pray for. What we need is forgiveness and power to forgive. What we need is trust and patience, strength and wisdom, generosity and courage. And maybe if we keep praying long and hard enough, we just might begin to see things the way God sees them. And we may also just might begin to want what God wants.